Hope you're all doing well. Happy Easter. So good to be up here this morning. It's so cool to have the kids in the service worshiping with us. That's just my favorite. But when you have to prepare to preach with kids in the service, you have to do things a little bit differently. You have to start thinking like a kid, which isn't incredibly hard for me. I came face to face last night with my childhood as I was coming over here to do our Saturday night service. I pulled up to a stoplight, and there was a car in front of us. It was a station wagon with the rear-facing seats. Anybody remember riding in those rear-facing seats? Yeah, those were the best. So I pull up behind this car, and every Sunday when I come over here to preach, I'll usually be like working through the message out loud in the car by myself, like really getting into it. And so I was doing that last night, and I just had these two little faces peering back at me. I don't know who it was more awkward for, me or them. But it reminded me those days when you'd ride in the back seat, just awkwardly staring at the people behind you. When I was a kid, I was a big video game player. How many of you guys like video games? I know it's not just the kids. Come on, adults. Yeah, there we go. When I was young, I remember being one of the first houses on the block to get Nintendo. Nintendo was the best. Me and my brothers, we scrounged our money together, mostly my older brother, and we went to the store and got Nintendo, and we were the talk of the neighborhood. We played Super Mario Brothers hard that summer, but it didn't take too long, a few days before the game stopped working. But Nintendo games were never really broken. All you had to do was take them out, and what'd you have to do to fix a Nintendo game? I don't know if there's any scientific proof to it, but it seemed that human breath would fix any non-functioning Nintendo game. And so we played that, but before you know it, this always happens. Something newer and better comes out, and sure enough, Sega Genesis comes on the scene. We didn't have any money for Sega Genesis. We spent it all on Nintendo, and so one of our wealthier neighbors got the Sega, and he became the talk of the town. And so we traded in Super Mario Brothers for a short jaunt over to his house where we'd play Echo the Dolphin. Yes. The thing with video games, though, is they're always getting bigger and better and better. More things you can do in them, better graphics. But the thing that's always been the case with video games is there's always one constant. Whether you're playing Pac-Man or whether you are currently playing Fortnite as I'm speaking, there's always one constant, and it's that there's always a boss, a bad guy who's keeping you from getting to the next level or beating the game, right? No matter what it is you're playing. I have put a few of my favorites up here. Okay, the ghosts from Pac-Man. If you don't recognize them, ask your grandparents about it. I'm sorry. Donkey Kong, right? You throw the barrels down so you couldn't get up the ladders and the step. Some of my favorites, Bowser from Mario Brothers. How many of you know this next guy? Dr. Eggman, right? Does anyone know what his name was before it was Dr. Eggman? Yes, Dr. Robotnik, right? I don't know why they changed his name. Now, this next bad guy I'm going to put up, in my estimation, the worst bad guy there ever was. I was a little scared to put him up on the screen with kids in the church. But I thought, I'll go ahead and do it. Worst bad guy that I know of. All right. And then how many of you know what this game is? Yeah, what's that? That's Fortnite, right? Fortnite, where everyone's kind of the bad guy, right? And so you just are fighting against everyone. They're all coming at you. No matter what the game is, no matter how advanced they become, this one constant has always been that there's always a boss, a bad guy who's stopping you from winning the game. And all of these bosses, while they're just existing in video games, represent something deeper to us as we grow up. Bosses, things that we face in this real life that beat up on us and eat us up. Maybe it's those ghosts from Pac-Man. Maybe you have some ghosts that haunts you from your past, things you've done, things you've said, and you feel guilty, you feel ashamed of the things that you've done. Maybe it's that Tom Brady character who's always making you feel like you'll never be enough. Maybe it's kind of those scary bad guys. It's the fear and the anxiety and the depression that eats away at us throughout the years. Or maybe you feel like you're in Fortnite where everyone and everything is just out to get you. We face these bosses in real life and they beat us up and they cause us to despair. But what if I told you that those bosses all pale in comparison to the boss that the Bible says all of us are going to face? Scripture tells us that because of our sin, because we fall short of the mark that God has set for us, because he's holy and we are not and we've messed up, each and every one of us has to come face to face with the boss, death. And when we say death here at East Swan, we don't just simply mean physical death. There's so much more to it. A death that means we are to be separated from a perfect, heavenly, loving Father for all of eternity. Each and every one of us deserves that because of our sin. And every single one of us will face this boss, death. And here's the thing. No matter how strong you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how smart you are, none of those things about you could ever help you to defeat this boss. He'll beat us every time. I had recently come across this family that came face to face with this truth recently. Their son was battling cancer and eventually lost his battle. And after he died, the parents created a video game in honor of their son. A video game called That Dragon Cancer. And this video game is more realistic than any video game you've ever played. Not because of the graphic, not because of the things you can do in the game, but because it mirrors life. And I want to show you a little bit about this family and the video game that they've created for their son. Check this out. Videos like that are hard for us to watch. They are so hard for us to watch because we've been given the wrong impression about life and death. Here's what I mean by that. I'll never forget when my brother introduced me to the world of cheat codes in video games. We had this game that we played on our Nintendo, Contra. Okay, Contra was the best game ever. You were this Rambo character. They'd kill robots and monsters, but Contra was impossible to beat. It was so hard. But my brother had heard about a cheat code, and so when you turn the game on after blowing in it to make sure it worked, and you'd put it in, as the screen would come up, if at just the right time, you pressed up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start. That's something that sticks with you. If you put that in at just the right time, it would give you unlimited lives. And when you had unlimited lives in Contra, you played the game differently. It didn't matter if you got beat by one of the bosses because you just pop back up in the same place and you'd go on to fight again. The problem is, I think a lot of us live our lives as though that cheat code has been applied to this life for us. We live as though we always will. And when the stark thought of death comes to us, when we come face to face with a video like that, or we experience it for ourselves, we consider it a harsh, bitter boss that we just weren't ready to face. And this boss is coming for us. And the reality is we can't beat him. But the greatest news we could ever receive comes at Easter. I want to share with you one of my favorite passages. It sums up the gospel, the good news of Jesus and what he offers us in just two verses as Peter's praying or preaching in Acts. He says this, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I hope that over this last week you've reflected on all that happens at Easter. Last week, if you were here at Palm Sunday, we celebrate as Jesus is coming into the city to great fanfare, people shouting, "The King is here, Hosanna," so excited. And then as the week goes on, you get to Good Friday, and those shouts of joy and Hosannas are turning to jeers and spitting on Jesus, beating him up to the point where he's almost dead, only to scoop him up and take him to a cross. But I want you to notice something that we see in this passage. Because some of us, we read the story of Jesus and we're like, how did that all come about? That is so tragic how that played out. It didn't just happen. Peter reminds us, no, this was God's deliberate plan. His plan that he foreknew before the creation of time. A plan to save you and I from that boss death. And while it was men that nailed his hands and feet to the cross, Jesus tells us in John 10, nobody takes my life. I lay it down willingly. The cross is the greatest act of love as Jesus lays down his life, as he takes our place. Now, we say that a lot in church, this idea of Jesus taking our place. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we all deserve to die on a cross. Okay? It means that we all deserve to experience what Jesus experiences next. As he takes his final breath, as he shouts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, God the Father turns his back on Jesus, and Jesus is experiencing everything that we deserve to experience. The separation from a good, loving, perfect Father who exists in fullness of joy. We deserve that separation, and Jesus takes it on himself, taking our sin to the cross, and in doing so, takes what we deserve. And so in that moment, while every single one of us will experience death, Jesus does something even more incredible than just taking death away. He takes the sting out of death. The sting of being separated from God for all eternity when we close our eyes in this life. He's taken that away so that we can sing. I don't know if you caught this, but you sang this morning. These words, death won't hurt me now. We can confidently sing, death won't hurt me now, because Jesus has gone to the cross. And in doing so, he's bought us from the slavery of sin, delivering the first blow to the boss of death. But Jesus dies on that cross, and the enemy thought he won. But now you come back 3 days later to what we celebrate this morning. Jesus comes back to deliver the final blow to the boss as we celebrate the resurrection. Because while death was a boss we couldn't beat, it was no problem for Jesus. In fact, Peter says it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. On Easter, Jesus shows us his power over sin and over death. And in his resurrection, we find hope. Hope that while we will face this boss death, and one day our eyes will close to this world, we have hope sealed in the promises of Jesus at the cross and in his resurrection, that while that screen fades to black, we'll see loading, and we will open our eyes in the presence of our perfect Heavenly Father who loves us perfectly, in a place where we will experience fullness of joy. No more pain, no more cancer, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more crying, no more bad guys. Only us in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. The sting of death has been removed, and now we have hope of a life far greater than this one when this one comes to an end. And that hope is available to all of us this morning. This hope is available to all of us. And it's not some hoop you have to jump through to get it. It's not like we're going to send the offering baskets around again. If you put just enough in, you'll get into heaven. It's not that at all. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. If you believe that Jesus went to the cross in your place to put your sin to death, and if you believe that 3 days later he rose from the dead, showing that he was victorious over it, you're promised eternal life in him. This hope is yours today, and that's why we come here and celebrate. We celebrate that the sting of death has been removed and now we have hope. Because of Jesus, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear what comes after it. Because he's promised us eternal life and he sealed it with his death and his resurrection. And Jesus wants us to have that hope today. We're going to close our service this morning by singing a song with these lyrics. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat, because we were beat up. The bosses of this world beat us, but through Jesus' spirit, we will rise. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. In your name, Jesus, we come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected king is resurrecting me. That is what we celebrate today, that Jesus defeated the boss that we could not. While we were defeated, we were given victory in Jesus. And we can have hope today that looks beyond the bosses of this world, beyond the boss of death, to life eternal with a heavenly Father who didn't just tell us he loves us, but he showed us at Easter.